Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so, let's get to our board here. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "The Deliverer Will Come Out of Zion." The Deliverer will come out of Zion. And so, we all know that the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, came from Bethlehem there in Israel, and he is going to rule and reign when he returns, amen? And guess what? He's returning soon, sooner than we think, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's not get comfortable that we have a really good president now. And no, don't get comfortable with that. God still is going to come when he's supposed to come. Amen?
Amen.
And so he can crack the skies any moment. And so we're mighty thankful. So if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 21 through 27. And so here we go. And it reads, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." Oh. "Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Uh-oh. And we're going to go a little deeper to understand this, okay? So don't hold on to your seatbelts here. Look at verse 23. "And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Uh-oh. "For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into them, into their own olive tree?" See, Paul is giving us something to think about right now, isn't he? Look at verse 25 through 27. "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer," this is where I got the topic, "the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." Saints of God, let me just say this right now. Tel Aviv. Did you catch this right here? "The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." As we speak today, Tel Aviv is the capital of homosexuality around the world. Oh yes, then comes San Francisco. So Jesus is going to come and he's going to deliver all the ungodliness. We prayed that tonight. Oh God, cleanse our nation. Oh God, cleanse our heart.
Amen. That's right.
And so God has to come and do that work.
Amen. Thank
you, Lord. Hollywood, you can't even tame them. Right now, they have unleashed a spirit of ungodliness throughout our nation. You can't trust what they promote now.
Yeah.
You can't go to watch a wholesome movie no more. Gone are the movies that, what was that one where the lady was running through the fields long time ago? The Sound of Music. Those movies are gone. And now there's nothing but wickedness. And I pray once again, I shared this Sunday, I pray again for the kids that have a Netflix account. There's Sodom and Gomorrah now in the movies of Tyler Perry. I'm going on record to say that. And what was revealed through prayer, me and Brother Felipe were praying. He's in India, we're praying. That if you go back to his movies, he was showing us transgenderism already by dressing like a woman. So he bided his time. He bided his time to unleash this ungodliness now. Don't go see that, his latest movie. Every abomination. Brother Felipe said it right. He has become Antichrist. It's an Antichrist movie. I say no more. I'm not going to even say the name of that movie because I don't want no one to go to it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus, help us. We live in a time of wickedness. This is why we need Jesus. Hallelujah. We need the deliverer to come out of Zion. We need him to come back. Hallelujah. And make things back in the order that it was intended.
That's right.
Before Adam and Eve was even brought into existence. Because when he comes back, he's going to deliver all of us. And we will live now with him in peace and a place of paradise with him. The way he intended it. Hallelujah. Don't put your faith and trust in a man.
Right.
Praise God that we do have a good now commander-in-chief, but don't put your trust and faith in him.
Right.
Our faith and trust is in Jesus.
Jesus.
Only he can deliver. Only he can heal.
Yes.
Bible says that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, the Bible says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, and heal your land.
Amen.
You want our land healed? Guess what? Judgment first starts in the house of God. So help us, God. Help us, God. So help me tonight deliver this message. It's only a few scriptures, but I believe there's a lot of meat in this Bible study tonight. But I had to open up with our topic, the deliverer will come out of Zion, because Jesus is going to come and do the rest of the work.
Amen.
What he first started, he will complete.
Thank you.
He first started it on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To choose those who would hear his voice. Aren't you so blessed you heard his voice and you turned to him? And we're going to see in scripture that there's going to be those who won't turn to him. And we all know that place where they'll end up, in the abyss. There's only two places. There's no purgatory. Nowhere will you find. If you find the word purgatory, I'll sign over my house to you. It's not there. The Pope is not there. A nun is not there. A cardinal's not there. None of that is in there. Why? Because those are man-made things. I want the pure, unadulterated word of God. How about you? Can I get an amen? I want God's word to speak to me. I want God's word, hallelujah, to be alive and well in me. And so, let's get back to the word, and let's go to verse 21. For if God did not spare his natural branches, he may not even spare you either. Saying the only way we can access God's grace is through faith. Through faith. And it's not through personal status or effort. We're not in the kingdom of God through good works. When you get saved, then you learn to do good works. Can I get an amen? But it don't come natural. It comes through the power and the ability of God to be given to us. God will not bless those who try to stand on their heritage or even their personal morality. Because everyone has various types of morality. I can't stipulate my morality upon you, and vice versa. But we have to look at the biblical principles so that we can now line up according to the word, not according to your thought life, not according to your opinion.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
You see, he blesses those by faith alone to access his grace. Man, it's by his grace he allows us to come to him by faith. Grace, grace and mercy. Because at one time we were rebels without a cause. We were rebellious. We didn't want nothing to do with God. And yet God saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. How many are so blessed to know that he called you by your name? Thank you, God. You see, saints, if God would cut off apostate Israel because of her unbelief back in that day, he would not hesitate to cut off an apostate church. Yesterday, I believe it was it yesterday or was it this morning, when President Trump had to endure the prayers and the word that came from an apostate bishop, a lesbian up there. You Google search that. She was chastising the whole family. And the real pastor, the black pastor from Detroit, was sitting with them. And they were like, oh my gosh. Because she was promoting transgenderism, homosexual, because she was a homosexual up there. Oh my gosh, it was a oh my gosh moment. How many saw that? Yes. It was like, wow, look at this wickedness at work. Speaking to the man. Wicked. Yes, you just found it, didn't you? Yes. It's wicked. She tried to chastise our president that he was downcasting transgenders and homosexuals. When he, hallelujah, on his inaugural speech, he's going to sign an executive order that there's only two genders. Can I get an amen? Amen? A male and a female. Period.
Amen.
That's it.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, the church needs to not be afraid to speak truth.
Come on.
Too many times, pulpits across America are ashamed of the gospel. If you're ashamed of the gospel to speak truth, don't even get behind a pulpit.
That's right.
Give it to someone that God is raising up to speak truth in your church. Because there's many that will want to speak truth in your church. Give them the opportunity to speak truth. Today, there are many apostate churches that do not believe the Bible or its supernatural claims anymore. They don't. They think what God did in the Old Testament was fairy tales. They think what God did in the New Testament no longer happens today. I'm here to let you know that Jesus said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
God changes not. Hallelujah. You may change, but God won't.
That's right.
Thank you, God. Just because someone is religious does not mean he is not a heretic. Judgment will come on those who destroyed so many souls by religion. And what she said was religious and her own point of view. It was a homosexual, quote unquote, bishop of the Methodist Church. I believe it was United Methodist. I don't even know why they walked in there. Oh, my goodness. Laura Ingraham on Fox showed a little segment and she interviewed the pastor that was with Donald Trump, the black pastor who prayed at his inauguration. He said these people, he went on, go back and watch that segment on Laura Ingraham today. But that black pastor, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell from Detroit, said what those two, there was another church in Arkansas as well that came against Trump. But what he said, these people need to repent and get right with God. He said those people are living in an abominable life. He was sitting right next to our president. And they all had to endure that message. Wow. I would have got up and left. I'm sorry.
Amen.
But all the cameras were on them. It was filmed worldwide.
Jesus.
Let's move on to verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Wow. Saints, God sovereignly decided to put Israel aside for a time and offer salvation through faith to the rest of the world, to us Gentiles. This was a severe act, but it was done in judgment to those who disobeyed. The Old Testament saints and those saints back then, it was a judgment toward them because they refused to believe that Jesus would come. Like the prophets prophesied that he would come. And when he came, they hardened their hearts and did not believe. So, that wasn't going to foil God's plan, was it? No, he said, okay, I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to deal with you, Israel. Now I'm coming to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed he came to us? See, that was a door opener for us. Thank you, God. You see, Jesus has been kind to the Gentiles, but believers must continue to trust in his kindness. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Through thick and thin, trust in his goodness. And this refers to steadfast perseverance in faith. Your faith is going to be tested every day of your life from the moment you gave your heart to him.
Yes,
and so we have to have the perseverance in faith, continual and patient dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, steadfastness is a proof of the reality of faith. When you're steadfast, if Gentile believers do not continue in their perseverance in faith, they will be cut off too. Now, let me just say this. I'm talking about the people in our life, past and present, and maybe even future. I'm talking about Gentiles that reject Jesus. Not us believers. We received him. So God has sealed us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God has saved us. But we're talking here about the Gentiles that God has opened the door right now before he comes back to Israel. The door of grace for the Gentiles is still open. And this is why we can't stop praying.
Right.
We got to keep praying for our friends, our family members, those, you know, that are Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. But there's a day coming when the door will close. And they will say to themselves, I did it to myself. There'd be no one to blame no more. They couldn't blame you. They're not going to blame God. Because they were reminded throughout their life that Jesus came for them as well. And so, my friends, this does not mean individual believers can lose their salvation, be cut off from God. Rather, Paul is speaking from a generalized standpoint of picturing Gentiles as a group of them turning away from God, just like the nation of Israel did. So throughout the world, there's a whole bunch of Gentiles that have turned and refused to listen and obey the gospel. Until God quickens their heart, they're not turning. How many of you, just by a show of hands, know of people in your life that still refuse to come to the saving knowledge? Yes. It's fact. But don't give up on them. Don't cast them aside. Because you know why? If God was going to cast them aside, he would have came already. Did you catch that?
Yes.
He would have came already.
If they weren't
included in the plan that we don't know of yet, he would have came already. I shared with my pastor, Pastor Art, the other night. I was talking with him for a while, and we talked about, aren't you so blessed, Pastor Art, that Jesus did come back then in the 80s when we got saved? Just imagine. Look how many people would have been left out. So this is the grace of God, that he hasn't come yet. So that lets me know that he still loves his creation, and he's giving everyone an opportunity to come.
Amen.
Come and get saved. Come and give your heart to him. But he takes the cross more serious than most people think. He came and paid a debt that no one can pay.
That's right.
And we as Gentile believers owe him our whole life, and there's nothing we can pay him back with other than to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. To love him even in the midst of sicknesses that afflict us. Even when our moments of rebellion, even when the moments that we well, God, I don't think you're watching me right now. Even those moments where we ignore him. Every believer goes through moments like that. And then he has to quicken us and get our focus back again and say, come on, keep following me.
Amen.
Let me take that away from you.
Yeah.
It's hindering you. You got to remember, Jesus comes with his rod and his staff, like a good shepherd. A good shepherd back in the day would always go through his flock and look for fleas in the ears and flies in the ears and whatever stuff that they would lay in the ears and the nose and everywhere else. Well, this is what God does with us. He cleanses us and washes us no differently.
Amen.
Because he's a good shepherd.
Amen.
Jesus is the only shepherd.
Amen.
Us little pastors, we're just little sub-shepherds that he raised up. Because he told Peter, feed my sheep. So we're raised up just to feed God's sheep. But we have no authority over no one. God is the authority. He's the authority. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, look at this, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Wow. Now he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the nation that once was with him. And they forsook him. And guess what? He's coming back for them again. Isn't that a blessing to know? That it could be several hundreds of years that have gone by, and yet he hasn't forsaken them. And trust me, throughout that whole time frame, there are several Jews. Many of them. When I say several, there's probably thousands that gave their heart to Christ. Because there's a lot of Jews today that have given their hearts to God. A lot of them get boisterous and say, I got a double portion. Being a Jew and a believer. Yeah, you can claim that. Go ahead. It's all right. Thank God he saved you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God he saved them. Because they needed salvation like us Gentiles did. And so, saints, returning to Israel, Paul says, if they will turn from their unbelief, and that's the key, turning from their unbelief, God will graft them back into the tree again. Aren't you so blessed? If contrary to nature, saints, while olive shoots can be grafted into a cultivated olive tree, certainly the natural branches can be grafted back in the rootstock of the cultivated tree. So If the natural can do this, he can do that in the spiritual. Praise God. Look what I found in Hebrews. In Hebrews 2:17, look at this. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. So he had to become like us humans. And like them. Especially like them. You got to remember, when Jesus comes back, is he going to be a rabbi or a pastor? Number one, he's going to be our God. But he's also a rabbi. He's Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. Some people don't get that. Yeshua HaMashiach. So look at this. That he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To make propitiation, meaning a substitute. His blood sacrifice was a substitute for our sins. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Listen, we're all going to be tempted at one day or another. Some people get tempted every day. And yet, he's there with you to strengthen you, to help you. You know what's so cool about the Word of God? He gives an out for his people. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Praise God. So always remember that, saints of God. God is for us, not against us. And if we truly rebel, he will chastise us. Oh, come on. He will chastise us. So let's move on now to Romans chapter 11, verse 24. For if you were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? It's a rhetorical question that Paul always leaves behind with us. But there's so much in that question. You see, saints, you and I, we become part of God's tree by faith. We came to Christ by faith, amen? We weren't part of the natural tree or the first tree. We were grafted in. So our faith grafted us in to the spiritual tree where the first branches came from, which was Israel. It came from God. And so then God cut them off, grafted us in, and then now the Bible says what we're reading here, he's going to come back and graft them back in. Wow! Look at God. See, only God can come up with a master plan like that. We could ever conceive this, could we? No, this is God's plan. He's the mastermind. And I'd rather believe his plan and follow his plan, because his plan is the best plan. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, Gentiles are orphans graciously adopted into God's family. A wayward Jew who discovers the faith of Abraham is basically coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Praise God. Thank you, God. And many have come home. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, he came home. Pastor Mark Belt of El Shaddai Ministry, he came home. And many others that you know of that were Jews, and they gave their heart to Christ, they came home. And now, in our day and time, they're considered Messianic Jews. Because they got saved during the Messianic age. Wow. Look what I found in Romans 9:14. Look at this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have what?
Compassion.
So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God showed you mercy.
God showed you mercy.
That's right.
God showed you mercy.
Yes, ma'am.
He showed us mercy. Because you know, in the Old Testament, guess what us Gentiles were called?
Dogs.
Dogs? Yes. We were dogs. Gentiles were dogs to the Jews in the Old Testament. We were heathens. You know why? Because we had idols for gods. We didn't believe. No Gentile was raised up in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was the Jews only. He came for them first. And so all these other nations rose up against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why there was so many wars. There was so many bloodshed. And then at that, during that dispensation of time, he would raise up armies in Israel to conquer them heathens. Because they were in the path, in the way. So you got to remember, God is sovereign. And we just read right here. It says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, compassion whomever. So he had compassion and mercy on the first group of people. And that was the Israelites, Israel. And why are they so precious? Because out of that line would come King David. Out of that line will come the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. See, God has a master plan, doesn't he?
Yes.
And it's a beautiful plan. When you start reading the Bible and you start understanding how everything comes together like a glove, you start seeing the mind of God. This is why stay in churches that teach the Bible. There's churches now that won't even open the Bible no more. Stay in fellowships that'll teach you line by line, precept upon precept, book by book, so that you have a greater understanding of who God is. Once you start understanding the mind of God, that's where you will gain the knowledge and the wisdom on how to entreat God and how to entreat yourself and how to entreat others and rely on his power and his spirit to lead you and guide you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's move on to verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness, I need you to catch this, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You see, the fullness of the Gentiles has not yet been completed. In other words, God hasn't closed the door on the Gentiles yet. So when that door closes, now he's going back to Israel. Like in Zechariah 14, when he comes back the second time, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And many of Israel will be saved at that point. And guess who's coming back with them?
Thank you, Jesus. Moses.
Us, the saints of God. You see, the rapture will have already been taking place. So when the rapture takes place, what we're going to be doing for 7 years in heaven, we're going to be celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be celebrating the coronation of the king, where his father is going to coronate him and give him that robe that says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Jesus.
He will coronate his son in front of us. And then when it's time to judge the earth, the Bible says we will come back with him. It'll be 10,000s and 10,000s of saints. That means all the saints from past, present, and even the future saints, we will come with him.
Jesus.
On horses. And he will execute judgment on this earth. And then he will set up the millennial reign for 1,000 years. And we will be with him, ruling and reigning with him. How many can't wait for that moment?
Jesus.
Well, hang on. Hang on. Continue to love Him. Continue to praise Him. Continue to serve Him. Be steadfast in your walk. Be steadfast in your ministry. Be steadfast in your fellowship. Be steadfast in your church. Be steadfast in all things that God has given you. That you would be immovable. God wants you to be a rock. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That you can't be shoved to and fro. He wants you to be planted and rooted and grounded in His Word. That you would be strengthened with might of the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, saints, the temporary stumbling of Israel is part of what Paul calls a mystery. The word here means a truth that has been unrevealed up to this point, but now is being made known. See, none of us could figure this out until now. This was a mystery 200 years ago. Why? Because Israel wasn't even, they haven't returned back to the land yet. It wasn't until 1945 that Israel, 1949, 48 and 49, but actually 48, when they became a nation in one day. From that moment on, the time has been ticking for His next return. And I truly believe the greatest event that's coming to this planet is the rapture of the church. And everyone in this world are going to be going mad and crazy. Where did they go? And some will say, oh, the aliens came and got them. It's all a big setup right now. UFOs and all. Yeah, that's why they're, oh, now they're starting to believe there's UFOs. No, it's a setup. Because Satan knows. Did you know that Satan already read the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
He knows. He don't know the secrets of God, what God's gonna, he don't know the time frames of God, but he knows what it says. And so he's doing everything in his power to try to stumble the things that God has set forth. But guess what? It's not gonna happen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so the mystery reveals, for example, that Israel's stumbling has always been part of God's plan. God put Israel aside for a time in order to offer salvation to you and me, Gentiles. Paul reviews this mystery so the Gentiles will not feel proud and start bragging. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's nothing to brag about. This is a time to be thankful.
That's right.
To say, God, you're merciful. You counted me in that number. You know that old New Orleans song, "Oh, When the Saints Come Marching In"? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, how I would to be in that number. Remember, we're in that number. He counted us in. Conceit would be a sign that they were ignorant of God's master plan that included everyone. It doesn't. Did you know not everyone's going to be saved? Because if everyone was going to be saved, why would He come and judge the world? Why would He come and execute judgment? Because not everyone is going to be saved. And only those that are saved are coming back with Him. So you got the believer and the unbeliever that's on this earth. Let me just say this, saints, to comfort your hearts. When God takes us either in the rapture or we get to heaven through natural death, we will be with Him forevermore. We're not going to have that heart that's going to weep up there for those that are left behind. You know why? Because then you'll still have remembrance of sin. There's no sin in heaven. God's going to give us a whole brand new mind. And we're not going to think of those things no more. We're going to be in so much joy. Paul said it best. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him.
Right.
Paul couldn't describe what he saw. Yet God allowed him to go up to the third heaven. Do you know what the third heaven is, saints? It's where God rules and reigns right now. It's where he lives. It's where all the people that go to heaven. It's in the third heaven. What is the second heaven? The universe. The solar system. The planets. The moons. The constellations. All that. And it's so vast that the Hubble telescope cannot see the end of it. It goes on and on and on. Millions of light years away from each other. That's how vast the second heaven is. And we live in the first heaven under the atmosphere, the air that we breathe. And God has ordained this earth with the law of gravity. This is why we don't float away. So God made this earth so we would stay steadfast on this earth as humans. We couldn't float. If we floated to past the first heaven, we would disintegrate. We couldn't breathe. We would burn up. This is why when rockets are, they go past our atmosphere, when they come back, they're burning through the atmosphere. We would disintegrate as humans in this flesh. So God made everything according to his perfect will. But the third heaven where he lives is beyond comprehension. And that's where, when we go home to be with him, there's going to be a celebration and a reunion to those that went on to be with him that you knew that are there waiting for you. Wow. How many can't wait for that moment? Thank you, God. And so some of the Jews have hard hearts, but it's only for a temporary time. Because it will only be experienced until the complete number of Gentiles that has come to Christ. And with all the elect, do you notice I said the elect? The elect of the Gentiles has come to salvation. Look what I found in the book of Acts. Look at this. Acts 15:14. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Did you catch that? Let me read that again. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Yes. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. Look at this in verse 17. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. I need you to catch that. I need it to really get into your spirit. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. Meaning, God knows who are his. We didn't know until he made us come alive. We didn't know we were God's children in our unbelieving days. But he knew who were his. He knows even in the future who will come to him and whose hearts will harden against him. He knows the ones that will come because they're called by his name and they will hear his voice and they will not harden their heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Jesus, thank you, God. You see, God knows the size of that number of Gentiles who will be grafted into God's tree of faith. We only know that number will be complete. We know it'll be complete. Because then, when it's done, he's going back to Israel. And we're coming back with him to step on the Mount of Olives. As many will have come in as are going to come in. That's it. We don't know who that last Gentile is. We don't know. It doesn't bother. You know what? All we should be concerned about is praying for our unbelieving friends and family members.
Yeah.
And people on the job. Acquaintances. Friends.
Neighbors.
Praying for them. Be a light before them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's move on to verse 26. We're coming in. Almost closing out. We got two more verses, 26 and 27. Look at this. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from what?
Jacob.
And so, saints, this statement, all Israel will be saved, has provoked a variety of interpretations. The most widely held are as follows. Number one, look at this. The majority of Jews in the final generation before Christ's return will turn to Christ for salvation. Praise God. Again, there'll be some that won't. Number two, Paul is using the term Israel for the spiritual nation of Israel, made up of everyone, Jew and Gentile, who has received salvation through faith in Christ. See, they still have to come by faith. Amen? Everyone does, Jew and Gentile. But he's still going to go back to them and give them the opportunity to come to him by faith. You see, saints, all Israel, for all believers, the church, will receive God's promised gift of salvation. Number three, look at this. Israel as a whole will have a role in Christ's kingdom. Their identity as a people won't be discarded. God chose the nation of Israel, and he has never rejected it. So all he did was set them aside and came to us. Can I get an amen? Let me flip-flop this. They rejected him. He did not reject them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are you catching that? They rejected him. He didn't reject them. All he did was, okay, I'm going to brush you aside. Now I'm going to come to the Gentiles and save them. And he did just that, didn't he?
Amen.
You see, saints, he also chose the church through Jesus Christ, and he will never reject it either. I'm talking the true born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the spirit of promise. He's not coming back for the religious church that we heard, was it this morning or yesterday, that mocked the things of God and mocked our president. Because God will not be mocked. Can I get an
amen?
This does not mean, of course, saints, that all Jews or all church members will be saved. In every church in the world, there's a church within the church. Meaning not everyone's going to be saved. But Jesus says, don't separate them. Let them grow together. Let the wheat grow with the tare. Let the sheep grow with the goats. And the angels will make the separation at the end. So we're not to judge no one. Pray for them. Still love them. It's his church, not ours. And God will have his perfect way and will. Number four point, the fourth point, and so means in this way, this is how, referring to the necessity of faith in Christ. It's by faith. It's by faith. And so we're going to look now at our last scripture, verse 27 in Romans chapter 11. And it reads, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. You see, in the Old Testament, it was done through turtle doves. It was done through goats and bulls and bullocks. And there was a bloody mess at the altar. So Jesus had to come to be the final sacrifice. Amen? And when he hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit and his soul to God. And he closed his eyes and he went to be with his father. They buried his body. 3 days later, he rose again in that brand new body.
Yes.
And we're going to have one just like his.
Amen.
How many can't wait for that new one?
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo! You see, saints, to confirm what this last, see this scripture up here? For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Isaiah prophesied about this. Look at this in Isaiah 59. The Redeemer will come to Zion. And to those who turn from their transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this point, or this time and forevermore. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, as a believer in Christ, you got to believe that God has something special for your children.
Yes.
And your grandchildren.
Jesus.
We're seeing evidence of that in our life already. But believe God for your family. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the deliverer who will come from Jerusalem. For the first and only time in this letter that Paul was writing, Paul speaks of the second coming of Christ. And at that time, Christ will turn Israel from all their ungodliness, like I opened up.
Amen.
Praise God. Look what I found in Psalms 14:7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. For you and I, we can rejoice now because we see the future. God has allowed us to see the end. We know how this ends. It ends in rejoicing. Look at Psalms 53:6. All that salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when God brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Didn't that sound like verse chapter 14?
Yeah.
It's the same. And so, my friends, in closing, God also promises to take away the sins.
Thank you, God.
Their sins, our sins.
You,
look what it says in Jeremiah. And then we'll close in prayer. In Jeremiah 31:33, look at this. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Say that with me. They shall be my people. Look at verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Wow, come on. Come on, give God a shout of praise. It's going to end well. It's going to end good. It's going to end awesome. And I want to pray for those who are watching right now. Those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, you've never made that covenant with God by faith. Well, you can. It's not a coincidence that you logged in. Especially if you've never given your heart to Christ. Well, here's your opportunity. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too could be grafted in by faith and be born into the family of God by faith through His grace. If that's you, and you want healing for your soul, you want to be delivered from the vices of the devil that entraps us on this planet, with drugs and alcohol and pornography and every kind of device that he uses to keep you from the living God. All you have to do is cry out by faith and ask him to come into your heart. So pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Yes, he's so worthy. He's so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.